Russ Davis. Join me for Jazz America right after the latest news on VOA 1.
I'm David Byrd reporting negotiations on Iran's nuclear program will continue until at least Monday. A senior State Department official said Friday the extension is to provide negotiators in Vienna more time for talks on a comprehensive deal. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said that progress has been made in the negotiations.
I think it's safe to say that we have made progress today. The atmosphere is very constructive. We still have a couple of very difficult issues, and we'll be sitting down to discuss those in the very near term.
Kerry met earlier Friday with Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif and European Union foreign policy officials. Asked afterwards if he was remaining in the Austrian capital for now, Zarif said it seems so. Calling down to reporters from a balcony at the hotel that is the headquarters for the talks, Zarif said that there was no deadline, that he wanted a good agreement. The Greek parliament has approved the government's new economic reform plans aimed at getting a badly needed bailout from the European Union. The lawmakers met in a late-night session Friday that stretched well past midnight after hearing a personal appeal from Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras. The new Greek proposals include more pension cuts and tax hikes, demands that the EU finance ministers have been making of Greece, and which voters rejected in last Sunday's referendum. They also include Greek insistence for a debt restructuring by the International Monetary Fund. Greece is asking the EU for $60 billion to be spread out over 3 years. This is VOA News. President Obama has accepted the resignation of Catherine Archuleta, who stepped down as the head of the Office of Personnel Management after hackers stole the personnel records of more than 21 million U.S. government employees. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said that it was time for a change in leadership.
Director Archuleta did offer her resignation today. She did so of her own volition. She recognizes, as the White House does, that the urgent challenges currently facing the Office of Personnel Management require a manager with a specialized set of skills and experiences.
Ms. Archuleta's resignation came just one day after she revealed that the hacking first reported last month was much larger and had compromised the information of more than 21 million government employees. Reports have pointed to involvement by China. Last week, the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, called Beijing a leading suspect in what is believed to be the largest data breach in U.S. history. An honor guard from the South Carolina Highway Patrol took down the Confederate battle flag that had flown on the grounds of the southern U.S. state capitol for more than 50 years. A racially diverse crowd of hundreds cheered and chanted USA, USA Friday as they witnessed the flag's historic removal from the State House ground. Several waved the American flag, the Stars and Stripes. Some in the crowd carried the controversial Confederate flag, which they regard as a sign of Southern pride. Others think that it is a symbol of hate. Brandi Burgess was in tears as the banner came down.
It's my grandfather. He fought for that flag, and I will defend it until I'm dead.
The move comes 3 weeks after the racially inspired murders of 9 African-American church members in Charleston, South Carolina. The man accused of carrying out the killings posed several times with the Confederate battle flag. China is bracing for the landfall of Super Typhoon Chanhom, which is expected to make landfall on the country's southeastern coast Saturday. Chanhom is reported to be packing winds as high as 200 kilometers per hour. The Xinhua News Agency reports that the storm is expected to dump heavy rain along the coast before it turns toward Taiwan. More than 865,000 people have been evacuated in Zhejiang, and more than 100 trains between the region's cities have been canceled. This is the second typhoon to hit China in a week. Typhoon Linfa made landfall in Guangdong Province on Thursday. For more on these stories, please log on to our website. I'm David Byrd in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Russ Davis here. Welcome to another edition of Jazz America, my friend. On this edition of the program, we're going to celebrate one of the busiest men in jazz today. At a time in life when most people are thinking about retiring, he's involved in over 8 major projects in the last year. John Scofield, the master guitarist and one of the most versatile players of his instrument in jazz today, and really forever as far as I can remember, is in his mid-60s, and I know that because he and I are the same age. But he's not planning on slowing down anytime soon, and neither am I. John Scofield, in the last year, has put together collaborative efforts with the likes of Modesky, Martin, and Wood, the great trio, with whom he's collaborated since the late 1990s. He's also working directly with one of the members of that band, John Modesky, the keyboardist. He has a new quartet with saxophonist Joe Lovano. They're touring right now, and as a matter of fact, I'll share with you some rare music that I enjoyed hearing at the recent Montreal Jazz Festival with this quartet that'll be recording and releasing a new album in the autumn. The trio of Steve Swallow and Bill Stewart is longtime friends. They're working together and touring these days. He's also recorded with the jazz rock band of the jam band genre, Government Mule, New Orleans vocalist John Cleary, blues legend Taj Mahal, Germany's Pablo Held trio, and his own Uber Jam band. Is John Scofield busy? The answer is yes. We'll get to conversation with John and some of that music in this edition of VOA's Jazz America. But let's begin with a birthday salute to one of the greats of jazz history who passed away just a few years ago, the great keyboardist and musical visionary from Vienna, Austria, Joe Zawinul, was born on the 7th of July in 1932. Not only could he make jazz fusion, blending rock and jazz in a major way, but he could also play the classics with an electric swing that was uniquely his own. Here's his version of Thelonious Monk's classic Little Rudy Tootie with his band, the Joe Zawinul Syndicate, from the album Blackwater. Celebrating Joe Zawinul to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America.
Thank you. talking about me. Oh, really, I don't mind. This doesn't stop and block my progress all of the time. You know the mean things you said don't make me feel bad. I can't miss a friend lost that I never had. I got Jesus, Jesus, and there's another. Understand, say, you're talking about a great emancipator alone in a hard regulator. Jesus is, oh Jesus, he'll make my way brighter, my burning lighter. Yes, he will heal, oh yes, he will. Will not take a stone and turn you back on me. I got God's arms wrapped all about me. I got Jesus, oh Jesus, and that's enough. Yeah, and he gave me, and they saved me, ooh, and he loved me, and he taught me. Oh, he's my shepherd, he's my guide. I can feel him all rocking right by my side. I've got Jesus, that's enough. I got Jesus,
there we have our first taste of the guitar playing of John Scofield in a very bluesy gospel style with one of the great singers from the New Orleans, Louisiana scene, John Cleary, from the album Piety Street. Their salute to New Orleans and gospel music recorded in New Orleans. That is John Scofield and John Cleary, and That's Enough, the name of the song. This is Russ Davis, and we have much more to come from John Scofield with a lot of variety. Now, you just heard, as I said, the bluesy gospel sort of side of his music. Now you're going to hear the more straight-ahead swinging style with a recent performance at the Montreal Jazz Festival featuring John Scofield and his longtime friend and associate, saxophonist Joe Lovano. Let's have some conversation with John and then follow it with that music here on VOA's Jazz America.
Let's talk about your sound, because it is, as I said, it's a signature of John Scofield. And like a Jaco Pastorius, it seems to me, it's a matter of touch. You know, he could get the sound out of, on the neck, on the fretboard, just by the way he was touching it and also the equipment he was using, turned at what volume with whatever effects he may have. Now, how did you discover this buzz, this...
Yeah. Well, you know, I never discovered. I mean, I don't remember any moment when I...
Really?
No, but I do know that I've been messing around with guitars and amps, you know, the whole time trying to get it to sound better. And I found that I always wanted to sound vocal like a horn or something, because saxophone players could get this gritty thing, which was kind of like what B.B. King did, you know, and but different, you know. So I wanted to have kind of a distorted sound on the guitar, which was different from the jazz mainstream guitar sound. And I've always just stayed with amp distortion, trying to get the amp to break up, and it's more human, you know, than just a clean guitar sound. But I think what you said before about it being in your fingers is so true, you know. I mean, it really is in the hands before it's any kind of equipment thing. And it is how you turn your equipment, you know, what you choose. But it's mainly in the hands, first of all. You know?
Big difference between like a hollow body and a solid body, too. And tell our listeners what guitars you've decided to use.
Well, I've played, you know, the same guitar for almost 20 years. or more, and it's a semi-acoustic guitar. It's in between a solid body and a big archtop fat jazz guitar.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an acoustic chamber, but it's only about an inch and a half thick as averse to a 4-inch thick jazz guitar.
Mm.
So it's really a hybrid of a solid body and a fat jazz acoustic guitar.
Well, you heard more of that gritty sound of John Scofield's guitar on the song that preceded our conversation. Now enjoy some of his latest clean sound. Sort of like Kenny Burrell, if you know that great guitarist from the past. It's John Scofield with a recent performance at the Montreal Jazz Festival with the new John Scofield, Joe Lovano Quartet. It's a song called Symbolism on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you. That was the young man originally from Kyrgyzstan who made his way as a teenager with his family to the United States of America, landing and living in the middle of the country in Kansas City and then eventually to San Diego, and now he's a worldwide jazz piano playing phenomenon, Mr. Eldar Jankaroff, who simply goes by the name of Eldar and has for his entire career. From his latest release, World Tour, Volume 1, various live performances around the world, that was a performance at Washington, D.C.'s Kennedy Center of the classic Bobby Timmons song, Moanin', made famous by Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. Hope you enjoyed Eldar's version, and I wanted to play that one for you for a number of reasons. First, it's great new music just out, and secondly, it was from Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. And there's a connection to Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers with a song you'll hear next. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address. jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received recently. It reads as follows. To the presenter of Jazz America, I am Emmanuel Nwagwugwu from Nigeria and a lover of Jazz America music. I'm listening to you from my system offshore where I work. Thanks and keep it going. You're doing a great job. Best regards. Well, best regards to you as well, Emmanuel. And in honor of your listening and loving the music of Jazz America, I want to dedicate a song that is one of the most famous of all time, from one of the most famous jazz musicians of all time, who just happens to be celebrating a birthday on the 10th of July. Born in Philadelphia, the great trumpeter and composer Lee Morgan. He was a member of Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, as well as being a great solo artist. And one of his most famous songs and one of the most famous in all of jazz history that's been re-recorded by many other folks over the years is The Sidewinder, released by Lee Morgan in 1963. And here it is for you on VOA's Jazz America.
you, baby. Nobody's like you, baby. Nobody's like you, baby. Nobody's like you, baby. Nobody's like you, baby.
I mentioned earlier to you that John Scofield is one of the most versatile players in jazz today. Everything from playing with the funky rock-flavored jazzy jam bands to playing straight-ahead swingin' jazz with the likes of Bill Stewart and Steve Swallow in his latest trio, as well as with the new quartet with Joe Lovano. He also can make it Latin, if you will. That's Grammy Award-winning percussionist Pedrito Martinez from his album The Pedrito Martinez Group from 2013. John Scofield as guest guitarist on the song Traveling Riverside Blues, the Latin side of John Scofield, if you will. Now let's have more conversation with him and hear another of his recent projects here on VOA's Jazz America.
We were raised on in America on the British invasion and Motown was
basically
monstrous music when we were growing up. So easily, anyone who goes into instrumental music and into blues or in jazz specifically, I always have to ask them what led you in that direction when you could easily have just stayed in the pop idiom.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for me, it was really that I was so serious about music that to tell you the truth, pop music, as much as I loved it, it seemed like, compared to jazz, I mean, it just always seemed like jazz was the real deal to me. And why? Even though I loved pop music, it just took music a step further.
Who directed
as far
you
as creativity.
Your mother and father?
Not my mother and father, other musicians.
Oh.
Even back in, you know, when I first did, like, this jazz guitar player, Alan Dean was his name, who I met when I was a teenager. He played in rock bands. I mean, guitar is a rock and roll instrument, so all of us played rock. But all those guitar players in rock bands in the 60s that were older than us, they would at least acknowledge Wes Montgomery and jazz music as being, you see, because the musics are so related. Any kind of R&B is related to jazz and vice versa. Anytime somebody was taking a little guitar solo or solo on any instrument, improvised solo in the middle of a Stax Volt record or a Motown tune or the Beatles, this was a jazz thing they were doing, kind of. They were
absolutely
improvising.
Sure.
You know, so it was like, okay, there's this other kind of music where they do that solo thing, but they do it like that's the main part of the music. And so I just went for it kind of, you know, intellectually in a way. And then I started to listen to Miles and Monk and Bill Evans and all this music, and I fell in love with it. But I still love pop music. I love the Beatles and Motown, you know, as much as any music, probably.
And according to his most recent release with Modesky, Martin & Wood, known as Modesky Schofield, Martin & Wood in this case, and the album titled Juice, they also love the music of The Doors. Here's their jazzy version of that pop classic from the 60s, Light My Fire, on Jazz America from VOA 1.
There you have the classic by The Doors, the rock classic Light My Fire from the mid-60s, turned into jazz in a modern sense by four modern jazz masters, Modesky, Schofield, Martin, and Wood. And here's the music of the man who was born on the 8th of July in 1908, Louis Jordan, the great saxophonist and composer, who was known as the father of rhythm and blues and the grandfather of rock and roll. Here's one of his classic songs, Red Top. There you have a little history lesson, a taste of where rock and roll came from. And it came from jazz, from Louis Jordan. More of our salute to John Schofield next hour. Stay tuned, please.